Not cool, the hammer, especially when I'm all arrogant and all that nonsense. But, you know, I try to lean in because, you know, I'm the hammer. So, James, it's been a while since I've kind of cranked it up with a great victory. I mean, I've had great victories, but I've been subdued lately.
Yeah.
Happy.
Yeah.
Now, James, do you remember the staying alive thing? Because I might need to channel that today.
I do remember. Would you like to hear it? Or you want to save it? Or,
Because Matt Battle put this together couple of years
back. I actually think it's one of the great things Matt Battle has ever done.
All right, let's listen to something. Battle, he works behind the scenes in production with us, and he's just a great guy and expert at what he does. A couple of years ago, he created this.
Wow!
Will rain again in 20 minutes.
Wow, that's just pretty awesome.
Dance around my studio by myself every time I play it.
James, one more time. Let me get one more. Because it's good. Let me get one more time.
Wow! Up! Wow! Yeah! Wow! Up! Yeah! Shut his hole!
I don't know how he did it.
It's so good.
It's really good, man. It really is. So some people are talented. You know who's also talented? Joe Wechter. Let's go from one production piece to the next. So, you know, one of the things we love about the show is obviously we can be creative to give you a show and come up with ideas and put stuff together and be like, hey, let's hire Ruben Amara. He'd be a great addition to the show. No question. All right. So we try to do our best to give you creativity. But we also love feedback from you about what we can do. And sometimes we'll implement it. We received late in the show yesterday a call when a guy's like,
It was Time's Yours.
When the guy's like, you know, could you put together a montage of Philadelphia figures crying? And I was like, well, that kind of came out of nowhere, but could we? Yeah, I guess we could. Could it be funny? Yeah, I would tend to think so. So Joe Wechter went into the lab in the last 21 hours and has created a montage of crying. James Seltzer, I tend to think it should be pretty good. I remember some notables through the years. Let's roll out what we got.
Some 18 years ago, I left Dayton, Ohio, with two very bad knees and a dream to become a Major League Baseball player. I thank God that dream came true.
Where I announce that I am retiring after 13 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles.
He was so much more to me than most players, and I identified with him,
yep.
I think.
When I had the opportunity to come back here, you know, it's just something I couldn't turn it down. And I'm just happy.
You people may not know the relationship I've had with Charlie. He's a special person. This is difficult for me. I hope he stays in our organization.
And I've always been, as a player, that did not want to disappoint his coaches. And gentlemen, I didn't want to disappoint y'all.
Hungry dogs run fast.
Last 2 weeks after we won, I found myself in the shower crying, dreaming of this moment.
They meant everything to me. Let's go to the phones. 888, I'm sorry to cry. I'm just very emotional.
I'm sorry.
I'd like to say thank you to the fans of Philadelphia who supported us when we weren't so good. We're getting better, and we're going
to
do it.
I want to say thank you so much, and I thank Philadelphia for this opportunity, and I promise you it won't be a regret.
I mean, this is really...
I don't know what made that guy call yesterday and say that, but it was an interesting idea.
It's a great idea.
And Ruben's featured, John's featured, I'm featured.
We don't give enough credit to how ugly Tyrese Maxey's cry is.
Oh, my God.
That is an ugly cry.
It's painful.
It's that one sound he makes at one point where it's like, how did that emerge from your mouth?
I know.
You know, AI's in there. You got Lindros. You got Schmitty. It's really
well
done.
And you got the Roy Orbison in at the end.
It's really good,
I think,
man.
It's easy to forget that Tyrese really, like, that's the moment we met him.
Well, that's
the
right.
moment we met him. We had no idea what made this guy tick.
Yeah.
And like, I wasn't ready for that. Like,
no.
I I was a little taken aback. It was sort of like a rocky start for me. What the heck?
Yeah.
And then he went out and just did his thing, which is like every single day he has proven how much it meant to him.
He backed it up, man.
Oh, my gosh. Never have I seen someone back it up like he has.
Yeah. No, it's really well done. All right. So well done also by Wechter. We thank him. James, we'll have to save that for the archives.
That's a keeper.
And by the way, if you think we're missing anybody, and I'm sure we are, let us know.
Oh, yeah, the ever-growing crying montage.
That can be attitude, to say the least. All right, let's talk to our next guest. Elliot Shore Parks does a spectacular job covering the Eagles for us here. And, of course, the Eagles got a big game on Sunday. They really do. It's not a huge point spread. They're an underdog. Got a shot, for sure. And it's a fascinating matchup. Elliot, good morning, pal.
What up? How you guys doing?
Ellie, which was your favorite there? You heard. That was like 7 or 8 or 9 different dudes. What's your favorite?
Look, nothing will ever top Richie. Richie, I love you with all my heart. But that the Richie crying is really the funniest.
This is really...
it's so pure. That's what makes it so funny.
I'll tell you, the one of Lindros, which was different in nature than others. Some were celebratory and all. I mean, his was like, we're going to do it. There's very few things that have ever been said by an athlete to pump me up more in the moment. Because I put the percentage at that moment that the Flyers would win a cup with him at like 99%. So obviously they didn't. It's a shame, but he was an incredible player. All right, Ellie, let's get to this game. So a couple aspects to it. Let's start with the Eagles' defense against Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Man, will we be overjoyed on Monday if we come in here and say the Eagles' defense stifled Joe Burrow. Do you think they have that in their bag? Are they good enough to do that to that quarterback and these receivers?
I think it's possible, but it reminds me a little bit of the debate me and, frankly, Rhea used to have a lot about Jonathan Gannon, right? Where I think the expectations for what a great game against this defense need to be put, like, in perspective. If the Eagles can go into Cincinnati and hold the Bengals to, like, 25 points, I think that's a good outcome.
Oh, that's a win.
Yeah. That's a good outcome for this defense. As the Bengals, while they have not beaten anybody of quality, and that is noteworthy, going into this game, Joe Burrow has been outstanding this year. And their offensive line, while still not great, is improved. So if the Eagles defense goes into Cincinnati and, they give up 25 points or whatever, I'm not going to sit here and go, well, those 2 weeks were flukes. I think it's a very, very tough matchup for this defense.
How are we from a health perspective, Elliot?
So they're in pretty good shape. It looks like Zach Vaughn is going to play. That's obviously a big deal because I just said the Cincinnati offense is really good. And I think it's important that this defense of the 11 starters and, the 12 guys that play or whatever, the more reps they get together uninterrupted with guys missing with injury, I think the better they'll be. You've seen that over the last 2 weeks. So Zach Vaughn playing is a big deal. On the offensive side, they're going to be missing Mekhi Becton and Dallas Goedert. I don't think either of those two players will play. They haven't practiced all week. Mekhi Becton still recovering from that concussion, and Dallas Goedert still recovering from that hamstring injury. So they'll be without those two guys. And, that's a loss. Tyler's team has played well, I think, in spot duty when he's been asked to go in for Mekhi Becton. But as we've seen with Fred Johnson played well coming off the bench. But the 2 games he had to start this year, he really struggled. So the Mekhi Becton loss is a big one.
More on the offense here, Elliot, because obviously the slow starts have been alarming. I want to play some audio of Sirianni. He joined us on the program on Tuesday, and John asked, one of us, I forget who, I think it was John, asked about the slow starts. Let's listen to his answer.
Nick, what's one thing you can do differently offensively this week to focus on starting faster?
Yeah, obviously that's a big, that's a big thought process for us, and we're dedicated to do everything we can possibly do to score early, score in the first quarter. We'd love to score on that first drive, and so those are things that go through throughout the week, and you want to do plays that you feel like have the best chance to succeed, so you can get started fast. Every game's a little bit different, and one thing that you think is going to work, the defense's focus is on, and then you got to adjust. I think it's just what do we do to start fast? And again, like I said, I can't give away all the secrets that we're searching, right? We're searching for it because we haven't been good. It's been 6 games and we haven't scored in the first quarter. So, that's always going to be us putting them in positions to succeed, and the players executing, and so You know, that's going to be on our mind. You know, our first and second down plan will be on our mind, and then we're going to, you know, just like always, we're going to talk about, you know, which ones of those first and second down plan plays can go in there for the openers to ensure that we get off to a hot start.
So, Elliot, obviously he's not going to give you too much specifics, nor should he. But what do you think the reason is, and what can they do about it?
So, I think part of it is definitely execution. If you go and look in the first quarter, I mean, you go back to week one, Jalen had the two turnovers. You know, I think this execution early on has definitely been a problem. But ultimately, over six games, and this is kind of like a larger, you know, point here in terms of talking about Jalen versus the coaching, which I know is something we debate quite a bit. Like, six games, no points, that's absolutely on Nick and Kellen Moore. Like, you can't go out for six games and not score a single point. We had Landon Dickerson on the Players Lounge 2 weeks ago, and he made an interesting point that those first few drives, defenses play the Eagles so unique compared to what how they normally play other teams. Like, they'll watch a team on tape and see what they do, and then when they play the Eagles, it's always something completely different. And so it takes them a drive or two to adjust to that in terms of how they're bringing pressure, what the defense is doing. So maybe that's part of it. But ultimately, these slow starts are going to hurt them, especially in a game like Cincinnati, where you're going in there, it's going to be a hostile environment. The Bengals really need the win. You're going up against good offense. Like, they're really lucky that these slow starts haven't hurt them more than they already have.
Yeah, wow. We've made nothing about the fact that we have a player on our team in Sidney Brown whose brother is the starting running back for the team that we're playing. What's going on with that whole dynamic, Elliot? Is Sidney Brown going to be a bigger part of our defense this week? We know that he's coming back from, you know, being out.
Three words, Elliot. Light him up. I'm not going to say knock him out. That's not PC these days.
Get him back for stealing your toy when you were eight.
Light him up!
Now, this is pretty incredible.
Twin
brothers, and they're playing each other.
Well, and it's not irony, but you don't see it often. Running back, hard-hitting safety.
Yeah.
Like, that's a unique combination.
They're going to face off.
Yeah, they are.
In likelihood.
Yeah.
In this game.
What do you make of it and his role this year moving forward, Elliot? Yeah.
Well, bad news for Sidney is Vic Fangio doesn't strike me as a sentimental type. I don't think he's going to put out there. And right now, I just don't think Sidney Brown has a role on this defense. Now, it doesn't mean he won't be out there for a handful of snaps. It doesn't mean if there's an injury moving forward, he couldn't get out there. But that back seven, or I guess back four, if you're talking about Sidney, like, has been pretty good. Like, Darius Slay has played at a high level this year. Quinyon's been awesome. The safeties have both been relatively good and have improved as the season has gone on. So, you know, much like with the Zach Bond thing, where it's a positive he's going to be out there, just the fact that they have been able to keep their defensive starters together for so many games in a row and get quality reps, I just don't think that's something you interrupt because, you know, Sidney's brother is on the other team.
Yeah. All right, Elliot, one more thing, but just first let me say, in 5 minutes, beat the hammer. Obviously, we'll take the fifth caller on the contest line. Caller five, you'll compete. Likely lose, but you never know. In beat the hammer, caller five at 215-988-1258. Fifth caller, 215-988-1258, will compete in 5 minutes. So, Elliot, final thing here. You know, it's funny, as a station, as a show, as fans, I think we try to uncover every element of this team and talk about it pretty extensively. There's an aspect I think we've done a poor job talking about because it's big and it's barely been mentioned. Six games in, they've only created two turnovers.
Yeah.
Like, that means they're on pace to create six turnovers for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So what the hell, man? What is going on with that?
Yeah, so I know it's something that they've really, really started to put an emphasis on down there because it is a big problem, right? You saw Nick Sirianni go to the podium last week in the T-shirt with Reed Blankenship. Like, they talk about it a lot. But as to why it's not happening, and especially troublesome when you consider the quarterback they've faced, right? They haven't faced, like, a murderer's row of quarterbacks. But I think ultimately the reason they haven't been able to force turnovers is because they don't really get pressure on the quarterback. Like, the last 2 weeks, they have. But, like, ultimately over these first six games, they're not consistently forcing the quarterback into making poor decisions because the quarterbacks are mostly playing with a clean pocket. So until they start to get consistent pressure, I don't think you're going to see many more turnovers.
I agree. And I'll tell you this, Elliot. While the two Reed Blankenship sliding catches were nice, I feel like they've dropped 3 to 5 easy balls. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell, and I love him, but he's dropped a couple.
Yeah.
No question.
Yes, absolutely part of it.
All right, Elliot, stay well, bud. We shall talk to you on Tuesday. Thanks, dude.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you.
Thanks, all right, Elliot Short Parks. All right, Pete the Hammer in a couple minutes. Let's go to Patrick in Tabernacles. We broadcast this morning from Borgata. Good morning, Patrick.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Doing great, Patrick.
Hey, John Ritchie, man, good deal. The only thing missing in your life right now, John, is some smallmouth bass fishing on the Susquehanna River.
Man. Yeah, which I've done that. I've been
John,
there.
I'm going there again, man.
Catfish and smallmouth. You're going?
Yeah, yeah.
Good
yeah,
for
I got to
you.
Hook you up with this guy's number. I'm telling you, it's a quick trip, and he'll put you right on fish.
That would be great.
Yeah,
I really, anyway, I would love that.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good dude too. He's he takes care of some celebrities. You'll fit right in with him. Listen, the Eagles. I'm kind of fired up about the game with this. You know, I've been kind of, you know, I'm like lukewarm with the birds here. You know, I'm happy to see Jalen like protecting the ball the last couple day games.
Yeah,
yes.
That's got to continue.
You're lukewarm though. It feels like everyone is kind of lukewarm.
This game is either going to change it or solidify it.
I do think that.
Seriously,
it's a telling week.
Yeah,
it feels like it's going to turn up the heat or ice it up.
And I'll say in a way that few games do. Like this one is a big swing. You're either really in. Or you're like, I know it. Anyway, Patrick,
listen,
go ahead.
I'm going to be more in on them if the defense, and listen, we have some good young defensive guys, you know, and that's what I'm looking at. And let's see what they can do against Burroughs. I mean, he's a legit NFL quarterback. I don't
sure
care about
the
record.
Is a star.
You know, he's got star wide receivers.
Yeah. He's probably a future Hall of Famer if he stays healthy.
You
pretty much got to win a Super Bowl to get that at that position, but he's got the makings of being a Hall of Famer.
This is such a major test for our young cornerbacks. It's such an opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm excited for them. You know, a lot of this can be overcome by just rising up and having emotion. Like, you rise up and you hit your way out of whatever predicament you're in as a team. I'm telling you, that serves you well.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah.
Just hit, like, Sidney Brown being back. These young players being out there. They want to go hit. Older guys, they don't have that same want to to prove themselves. We got young guys running around trying to make a name for themselves.
That really makes
a difference.
I'm smelling a house of pain. I'm smelling great wide receivers across the middle. Bang! Wes Hopkins had freaking forearm to... Who was it, Ernest Givens?
It was Ernest Givens. It broke his nose across the middle.
I'm feeling a...
They don't really allow you to do that anymore,
but I think it would be worth Cooper DeGene 15-yard penalty, knock out Jamar Chase.
Well,
break his nose.
Let's just wrap up and tackle soundly and put shoulders on people. Really, knock them back.
Put Sidney Brown in for a play. Let him take somebody out. And then, you know, if he gets thrown out for targeting, he gets thrown out.
Now I'm thinking Temple and John Chaney. Send in the goons.
Well, you know.
Oh, was that controversial?
I always believe in that.
That was actually not good and certainly not good to admit.
It was not good to use that phraseology.
All right, Patrick, give me a great answer. The most stylish person of all time is who?
Yeah, how about David Bowie?
David Bowie, is that a good answer?
Absolutely. He was pretty stylish. He's like kind of forward
for
thinking.
Sure. Cutting
thinking.
Edge style. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, fair enough on Bowie. Hey, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the all-new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Two different poll questions. The first, who wins on Sunday? Will it be A, the Eagles, or B, the Bengals? Second poll question today. We know the Sixers are saying Joel's going to be out for the first three games. We're not happy, but we know that. Do you think he plays game four? Yes or no on the fourth game? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly weigh in at 215-592-949.